Thanks. Are you? Please introduce yourselves.
Me.
Who are you? Please.
I'm Bill Napier Hemi.
Bill, can you move a bit closer to the mic, please? A bit.
I'm Bill Napier Hemi.
Bill Napier Hemi from the Pointed Sticks.
Guitar, backup vocals.
And joining you is to your left, stage left, we have also
Jade Blade, former Dishrag.
Jade Blade from the Dishrags. And to your left, I guess, who do we have?
Grant McDonough.
Grant from Zulu Records.
That's right.
Welcome to CITR. Now, we're here today to prove why the Pointed Sticks and the Dishrags were the best. So who's not here? Who is not here to help us prove this? Who is not represented by the Pointed Sticks right now and the Dishrags? Please, like, introduce the members that are not here.
Ooh, the Dishrags first. Because there's
okay.
Less off the mark.
Scout, drummer. Dale Powers, bass player, first band, second band, Kim, bass player, and Sue, guitar player.
And Jade, where are these people? Where are their whereabouts?
Sue is in New Zealand, Kim is on a Gulf Island, Scout is in White Rock, and Dale is in Nanaimo.
Have any of them done any bands since the Dishrags, just to help, you know, bring things together here? Any other musical...
Dishrags, yes. Well, Sue was in A Merry Cow, Scout was in...
And she wore that
Blanche
hat?
Whitman. She wore the hat.
She wore the hat.
Scout was in Blanche Whitman, and what else? Scout was also in, help me out here.
With Tom. With Tom.
We can't remember.
The country band.
Don't let Scout hear this. She'll kill
I don't
me.
Know.
Do you remember, Grant?
This is terrible. Mm-hmm. On the spot already.
Okay, well...
On the hot seat, Jade.
Oh, okay, well, Bill, what about the Pointed Sticks? Who's not here? Where's Robert Bruce?
There's a million of them.
Where is Robert Bruce?
There's
I like the name Robert Bruce. Where is Robert Bruce?
He's in town.
He was a drummer guy, right?
Yes, he was a drummer. I see him but once a year.
Any music for him since, or did you totally discourage him?
I think he's been in bands since, but I couldn't name one. No, but of course, there's a lot of things I can't name. But no, I see Robert fairly often.
Okay,
he's
well,
he's doing good.
Okay, just he's around.
What? He's around. He's
oh,
in town.
Played in the Scissors for a while.
Was he? Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we got Grant here. Okay. If you want information, we've got Grant.
Yeah, no, but don't look at me.
And we're okay, of course Robert. Talking to the great punk pretenders, the Pointed Sticks. Were you once called the punk pretenders?
Well, sort of misuse of the word pretender. I think, do you mean like we were pretending that we were punk when we actually were rather pop?
No, I just remember hearing that term, kind of like the punk pretenders, you know what I mean? The punk pretenders, you know? You kind of snuck in there and punked it up. The punk pretenders.
Yeah, this was an ongoing.
Okay,
debate.
That did.
It was
right. Okay, who?
Oh, absolutely. No, it's okay. It was a good. That was a good lead in there. No, it was sure. It was an ongoing debate. Were we punk? Were we pop?
Okay, who else?
We decided to make it more than both.
Who else was in the Pointed Sticks? Of course, unfortunately, Dimwit is gone. So who else is left in the lineup? Where is everybody else? And who else was in the Pointed Sticks? Please elaborate.
Well, Nick and myself were the only members that were constant throughout the whole life of the band.
Nick Razor Thin guy who apparently had an affair with Rachel Sweet.
Excuse me? Oh, yes. Oh, sorry. Yes. Yeah, that was in the press kit or something.
The Razor Thin, good-looking guy, Nick Jones.
Was that in the press kit?
He was on vocals. There's some rumor somewhere.
Because,
of course, later on we'll get into this. The Pointed Sticks were signed to Stiff, and Rachel Sweet was very stiff. Nick might have been stiff on stiff. But still, if it ain't stiff, it ain't worth a poof. Yeah.
Yeah. But the affair with Rachel Sweet, I think that's fiction. But you never know.
Nick Jones, vocals. Bill Napierhandy, guitar.
Nick Jones,
Dimwit,
vocals.
Drums. Robert Bruce, drums.
Yeah,
Ian Tiles.
Drums. With three drummers.
Ian Tiles.
Ian Tiles, he was the first drummer. Fabulous.
Now, was he the drummer for the Modernettes, too?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't think he's ever been.
He became Buddy Selfish.
Because I get him mixed up with that guy, Jughead. Wasn't Jughead the drummer
for Modernettes? Yeah.
Where is that guy?
He's in L.A.
What is he doing?
He works at a video company, sort of video editing and that. He's doing okay.
No music then?
I think he's still playing around, but, you know, with some L.A. people.
Great. Who else is there? Who else is left? Who haven't we mentioned?
Tony Bardak.
Tony Bardak, yeah. Bass player for most of the time, and then Scott Watson replaced him. So we've only had two bass players in the studio. A couple of other guys came in to play bass periodically. And what does that leave? Keyboards. We only had one keyboard player, Gord Nickel, and songwriter. He wrote lots of songs, and that still leaves Johnny Ferreira. Oh, what name did he go by?
John Chico.
We call it. That was a nickname. That was a nickname we gave. He was John Ferrer. He was John Ferrer on saxophone and one of the little electric piano live. He played keyboards sometimes live.
And that was a complete lineup.
Hey, don't forget Ernie Dick.
And Ernie Dick, the member who never actually performed or played an instrument.
He practiced with you a couple times.
Oh, no. I don't think he ever made any music with us, or did he practice once? No, I don't think. No,
he was a sort of semi.
Fiction,
and Colin, you know, Griffin.
But he's real. He's a real person, and he's on campus actually. Ernie Dick works out here
in the library.
So he's a real person.
We could have had him here today.
We could call him up. We could just yell out the window, see if he's around.
Bill Napierhemmy, Jay Blade, Grant Madonna. How did punk rock find you guys in Vancouver, BC, or Victoria? Please elaborate. Maybe start with you, Jade, and your Victoria connections. How did punk find you?
Well, you've asked the right person, because she's one of the first.
She beat you, didn't she?
Oh, she sure did.
Like, who was first in the punk in this room? Was it Bill?
Oh.
Was it Jade,
yeah,
or
me.
Was it Grant?
It was Jade by a mile. And that was before you, wasn't it,
Grant? Grant and I have debated who was the first person in the country to buy a Ramones album.
Well, I think you're...
But
probably
I think we've settled this, and I think I got it
first
because I actually went to Seattle to get it before it was available in Canada.
When was this, and how did you hear the Ramones?
I read about the Ramones in Circus magazine, believe it or not. And also I had a cousin who was in the Furies, and through his influence, he introduced me to a lot of bands because he was from Vancouver, from the big city, and he let me know about people like David Bowie before anyone on the island had ever heard of him. And so he talked about the Ramones, too, and through that,
You were living on the island at this time.
Yep, in Victoria.
Were you in leather jacket? What did you look like? Did you have the punk look? Did people throw stuff at you? What were you looking like?
Well, we had the punk look by the time we clued into the Ramones. Before then, we wore satin pants and, you know, went the whole rock and roll route.
Platform shoes and stuff.
Platform shoes, yeah.
But then the punk look, they had a really nice sort of trademark.
So where were you at this time? Where was Bill and Grant at this time? What were you guys doing?
We were following Jade. No, we were, well, where were you, Bill?
Oh, my, well, I had really long, straight brown hair and white.
You were in AV, weren't you? You were in that band AV.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, who was the first punk band in Vancouver? That was the Furies, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's my cousin.
That was your cousin?
Yes.
So the whole family of Jade Blade really kicked it all out.
They're the shareholders.
Too bad you didn't end up on Metal Blade Records. Would have been really good, because there's Metal Blade Records, Jade Blade, on Metal Blade. It would have been good for your, like, your solo album or something. So, Bill, how did you meet Jade? Or what was the beginnings of the Pointed Sticks, exactly?
That's two questions.
Why did AV break up? Why did AV? That was your first band.
Oh, yeah. AV, and that was when I met Jade. So, there, that's a connection.
Where did you first meet? Like, where did it begin? Like,
Jade.
All I have right now is that Jade buys this Ramones record in Seattle from her cousin who's in the Furies, and are any gigs happening?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have friends? Like, who's into this? What's going on? Grant? Bill, please?
Well, there's a lot of gigs going on, and the Dishrags lived on the island, so they didn't come here. They were there at the very beginning, and then you guys did your own thing on the island, right, Jade? And then all these other people in Vancouver sort of came about, usually from the suburbs. North Vancouver was the land of good guitarists. That's where all the guitarists came from. The drummers and bass players came from Burnaby, generally speaking, I guess.
There was something in White Rock,
the White
too.
Rock contingent, yes. So everybody came from the suburbs sort of into town.
And Bill, what were you doing then? What happened here with the Jade situation?
Well,
Jade buys Ramones records. You don't know her at that time, obviously. Right?
Yeah, well, I saw her perform, and at, like, I don't know, some gig in town, and there, you know, I became a fan. Got to know her.
So the Dishrags performed before the Pointed Sticks were actually performing then.
I was in AV. Yeah, I was in a band called AV.
Now, why did AV break up? AV, the Great White Hope for the Vancouver pop
scene. Oh, I don't
know.
It just kind of dissolved. I forget. I can't remember.
The record wasn't very good compared to... they were a good live band, but it just fell apart. There was other stuff going on.
Yeah, it was, you know...
That was Tim Ray and AV, right?
Yeah, I wanted to rock out more than we were doing. Tim Ray and AV, that's right. Yeah.
So you saw the Dishrags play. How did the Dishrags get together, Jade?
We went to school together. Scout and I have been best friends since grade one, and then we met Dale in about grade eight, I think. And then we decided that we wanted to be in a band, so that was it.
What was it like in the Victoria scene at that time? Like, I know some later Victoria bands, later. But what year are we talking here? 77, 78? Because I've heard of bands like the Neos and Infamous Scientists. Was that around it? Were they way after?
No, way after.
Was there anything?
We'd left the island by the time all those bands came around. It was, when was the first gig, Grant? It was the Furies.
In Vancouver, it was 77? Summer of 77, yeah.
Summer of 77.
Yeah.
So who were the band? Were there any other Victoria bands at all at that time?
No.
And you just got the hell out of there?
Yeah.
They were Victoria punk.
How about when you when you went back? Did you ever play with the Neos or bands like that?
No, we never went back.
So you never were.
They were too
you
cool
just left
for that
the
stuff.
Like, I was hoping to get some I was hoping to get some Victoria stuff. How were you received when you went back there? Because didn't you back up the Clash there, or didn't you?
No, that was all in Vancouver. We played with the Pointed Sticks at UVic.
And Leonardo da Vinci Hall. Or was that in a different band?
That was something else. And then, well, we played, actually, in fact, when Bill and I met, we were playing with DOA and AV and the Dishrags and the Stiffs. It was supposed to be a BC tour of DOA, AV, and the Stiffs, and we just sort of got stuck at the bottom of the bill because they happened to be playing in a Esquimalt. And that was our first exposure to AV, and we'd heard DOA before, but... I don't know. I mean, that was there was nothing happening.
And you immediately were attracted to Bill at that point.
Well, no. Or I mean, we didn't even... No. Bill was doing the sound, and I met him. And
what did you think? What did you think of the pointed sticks? Yeah, give us the...
Well, no,
Bill's not really saying too much, Raider Jade. Were the pointed sticks cool then? Did people like them? What was going on there? Well, was that early pointed sticks?
No, that was AV.
Oh, no, and AV? Oh, my
AV
God.
AV definitely were not cool.
AV made it to the island?
Yes.
Oh, wow,
yes.
I didn't realize the importance of AV at all. Where were you at this time? How was Grant viewed? Bill, how was Grant viewed at this time? Where did Grant fit in?
Man.
Grant, you were very young.
Yeah.
Well, we were all very young.
Yeah.
But back then, the age differences seemed greater.
Yeah, I was a bit younger.
So I mean, you had...
Me and Chuck were... Chuck Biscuits were the real young ones, and Jade, yeah. You were pretty close there, too.
Well, what were you doing, Grant? Like, Bill and Jade were in bands and stuff. You were doing that zine, Snotrag, or what was happening there?
Yeah, I was involved with the fanzine, Snotrag.
So you just went to all the gigs? What did you think of Grant, the super fan? Like, who was better, Jade? Who was better, Bill or Grant at that time?
Well, she married Bill, didn't she?
I know, but that was, I didn't. We didn't marry.
She might have made a mistake, though. I mean, I don't know.
I refuse to answer.
And again, we're speaking here too. In case you're wondering,
I don't know who is cooler. I don't know who's cooler, Grant.
I don't know,
you
Mike
or me?
We're speaking here to Bill Napier-Hemmy.
True.
Bill Napier-Hemmy, yeah. Jade Blade, and Grant. Bill Napier-Hemmy of the Pointed Stick, Jade Blade of the Dish Rags, and Grant of Zulu Records. And I did not realize the importance of AV. Thank you. You play the island. With AV. That was really great. But I understood that you guys both worked at Aroma Cafe. Did you meet at the Aroma Cafe? Is that
where... Oh, this happened much later.
That was... Oh, that was... Was the band broken up by then? The Dish Rags?
Yeah, I think so.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, it was much later.
So were you guys in the Dish Rags? Were the Dish Rags the first Canadian all-punk, girl group that was out there?
All-girl punk group.
They were all girl and they were all punk.
Girls involved in the scene, or were there a lot in the scene at that time?
Not when we first started, but there certainly were a lot later, and there were a few bands in Toronto, and then some happening.
Like the B-Girls from Toronto.
Yeah.
Was that the same time as you, or were you before that?
Well, I think we started before them. I mean, 77 is really pretty early, I think, in terms of Canada, anyway.
You didn't hear much about what was really going on in Toronto, and, I mean, there was no video station or whatever to keep it clued in, so you sort of pick up old fanzines every once in a while, and you'd hear about these new bands like the Diodes or Teenage Head or whatever, but you sort of, I mean, in like Vancouver and Victoria, we're still
far apart. This is what I don't
apart,
understand. I saw an ad that the Diodes' first LP on Columbia is worth $22. I don't think it's really that good, but the Dish Rag singles, now those are fetching good bucks, and that's why we're here talking to Jay Blade of the Dish Rag, so you can learn about collectors' interest. Actually, you have some Seattle connection to the Dish Rags, which we'll get into in a second, but I was looking at the Seattle history book, and I'm wondering again about the roots of punk rock, when it began and all, and it said like the Jim Baslade and the Mice or whatever played in 77. Were the Dish Rags predating those bands, Grant?
The Dish Rags played in July of 77 in Vancouver with the Furies.
Period. Okay.
Yeah.
What about all those guys? Was there anything in Seattle at that time?
There's a gig.
Jay, you went to Seattle to get the Ramones record. You had to go down there.
There was a gig in Seattle, like some Seattle bands like The Lude, and that came up, and they played with the Furies here a couple of months later, right around September, October. So Seattle had, I don't really know the early, there was The Lude.
The Enemy.
And we were a little later, I think.
Pretty early.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, anyways, who is...
Different, it was
no one's very good.
Yeah.
Who is Ted Thomas?
Seattle sucked.
Who is Ted Thomas, Bill? Who is Ted Thomas? I do not understand Ted Thomas.
He owned Zulu Records before it became Zulu Records.
Well, no, I owned Zulu after it was Quintessence.
Yeah. No. He was the original owner of Quintessence Records, and they really sort of pioneered in, you know, small labels in Vancouver, started putting out records. Ted Thomas just liked bands that he saw in town.
So he owned Quintessence. What was his role? Like, he put out a lot of records, right?
A few, yeah, but he was, you know, he was great. He would go see bands that he liked, and he would pay for them to record, make records.
Well, how come we didn't put out the Dish Rags? The Dish Rags had to go to Seattle.
Because he lacked vision, that's why. No, I'm just kidding. No, he didn't lack vision.
Where is he now?
But he didn't do the Dish Rags. Anyway, he lost an opportunity there.
Where is Mr. Quintessence right now?
He's around. He's still around town. He's still into music quite a bit. He's not in a retail end, but he was a music buff back then, and when a lot of this sort of new wave punk stuff of the time came out, he took a... You know, he was a defender of it,
and
which Zulu was taking a stance, and he's still around. He's still a real music fan, you know?
And Zulu and Quintessence were in the exact same location, exactly?
Yeah.
The same dirt that Ted Thomas left, you had to clean up, like exactly the same stuff right there?
That's a good way of putting it, but yeah, it's the same location. And, yeah.
What were the other record labels in Vancouver on a local scale at that time?
There weren't any.
Well,
really.
France Records came out after Quintessence.
And they later ended up screwing DOA, didn't they?
Mm, well, that's what they say, you know, as far as... Yeah, I mean, that didn't really work too well, I don't think, that whole DOA France Records arrangement.
How were you approached by Quintessence Records, Bill, in the Pointed Sticks?
I think he came to gigs. He came to see us live and would come up to us. I think he just came up to us afterwards, after playing, and said, hi, you know, I want to put out a record. That wasn't the AV. Was AV on Quintessence?
Yeah, he was at that on an AV gig. Remember, you might not want to be remembered, but you were going to record a live album. Remember, and Ted and Jerry were there, and they had the front row.
Oh, I remember that was at the Japanese Hall,
and the whole gig was kind of.
It was not a great gig. It was a bad gig, but they were there.
But
right?
They eventually did the EP with you guys.
Yes. So, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Was AV on Quintessence?
That was the first single Quintessence put out.
And what else did Quintessence do after that?
Well, they did a lot of good stuff. Yeah. They did the Young Canadians, their two EPs.
But what was the order? There was the AV record. Then what?
There was, I think, the Pointed Sticks, and then there was Young Canadians.
So what Pointed Sticks single
was Modernettes?
Modernettes.
What Pointed Sticks single was right after AV?
What do you want me to do? And back to somebody's mum.
And then from that, there was some other ones too, right?
Also, The Real Thing and Out of Luck. That was on the next single. And then after that, it was Lies and I'm Numb. That was also on Quintessence. So he did three with us. Well, not to mention the LP. That was also Quintessence. Mm-hmm. It was Quintessence, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It was.
Yeah, okay. So there's a lot of stuff. And then The Young Canadians, a couple with them. Yeah. Modernettes. Two with the Modernettes?
No, just one with the Modernettes. Quintessence did a 12-inch EP and a 7-inch single with the Subhumans.
The O Canada one, right? Is that the one Quintessence?
No, they did that themselves.
Firing Squad
single.
As
and
produced.
They did that Death Was Too Kind 12-inch, you know, with Slate of My Dick. And
who is Jerry Barrett? It's Jerry Barrett, isn't it? Or Jerry Barrard? Who was that guy?
Barrett.
What can you say?
Who is?
He was a
person.
Around.
You know,
yeah,
Jerry lives in New York now.
He worked in the store. I mean, he was like an employee. He worked the counter at Quintessence.
He was the face of it to a large degree.
Was he involved with the Pointed Sticks at all?
He hung out with us, yeah.
So he was in
he managed the Young Canadians later on.
But yeah. Steve Macklem, he was the manager of the Pointed Sticks.
Yes.
Was he the brains behind the, you know, signings and all that? Like, who was the guy that would kick ass in the band? Was it you, Bill? Like, who got the gigs? Who got the gigs? Who got organized? Like, was that Steve?
Macklem...
Because he's now with Colin James and all that, right?
No, Macklem was... He was the guy that got us signed and got us a lot of gigs and stuff. No, he really pushed.
He's a real go-getter, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And Jerry Barrett, he was just a guy selling your records in the actual store.
Yeah, and hanging out and
but
helping out.
But now he hangs out with Paul McCartney and stuff on weekends, taking weekend trips to France, right? Because he's part of that Brockham enterprise, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, he's in merchandising.
And didn't he give Nick Jones, ex-lead singer of the Pointed Sticks, some gig to happen with for his life, probably?
Yeah, well, Nick's working with the same company now. Yeah.
And that guy, Michael Williams, please, no. Why does Michael Williams, of Much Music, have to have been involved in a Pointed Sticks story? Grant, can you elaborate on that at all?
Well, he was their road manager, right?
And, yeah, you know,
he came for one tour or something.
Yeah.
You know, he's from Montreal. This is well before Much Music was even on the air, so he was the road manager with the band when they went back east, while Steve Macklem stayed out here and did some business deals, and they worked together.
So you had Michael Williams helping...
the end of the band.
You had Michael Williams helping the Pointed Sticks, and then you win, like, Seafox Battle of the Bands.
That was not in that order, though. Yeah. Yeah.
What was the deal on Seafox there? Please, move closer to the mics there, everybody, and tell us what was the importance of Seafox. Like, the Battle of the Bands there, Gene...
There was no importance.
What was this Battle of the Bands thing happening? The dish rags were happening, and you were asked, you just said you were asked to open for the Battle of Bands. Explain that a bit.
Was it even called Seafox back then?
That was still LGFM. Same.
Yeah. They changed over right when all the punk thing was happening. That's when they changed their name.
They changed their name, but they sure didn't change their music.
Actually, I can't take credit for CITR at the time. I wasn't there, but actually Gord from Zulu was saying how at that time CITR was playing all top 40 and Eagles type things in 1979, so the CITR never helped the Pointed Sticks, did we?
Oh, no, sure they did. Not in 79 or 78, though. When Tom Harrison was the music director, check the archives, man.
I think Tom was the music director before that. Like, in 78, CITR was pretty much in Led Zepp bad station as far as, you know.
Thanks to Tom Harrison, but Jay, please.
But it changed, though.
Please, Battle of the Bands, you were asked to open.
Battle of the Bands. Well, the very first one, or I think it was the first one, was again with AV. And I don't remember it being affiliated with a radio station, but I guess it was. Anyhow, we were just, the Dish Rags always got these crummy little opening spots, so we weren't even invited to be in the battle itself. We were opening for the battle, so we opened, and then AV went on to play, and then Sapphire went on to win, and that was it. We finally did get to play in the battle, but it was a couple of years after that when it was held at Gary Taylor's Rock Lounge or whatever.
So the battle was a big thing. Did everybody look forward to this battle? This was an important thing, the battle. It seems we have the Ramones record, the key ingredients in the Vancouver music scene, Jade Blade and the Dish Rags buying a Ramones record. We have the Battle of the Bands. We have AV. And then the Pointed Sticks just beginning. And then I don't understand Jerry Barrard's role at all here continuing on.
He bought the beer.
He did buy the beer.
So the Pointed Sticks started going and happening. Why did Quintessence Records fail? Why did they fail, Grant?
They didn't fail.
Well, it depends which way you look at it. I mean, you know, back then, studio time was really... I mean, to get an 8-track studio was $40 an hour. To get a 24-track was $100. We're talking in, like, in $1979, $1980. So they didn't fail in the sense that the records were sent out to a lot of people. They sold pretty well compared... I mean, you know, from what I understand, they sold quite decent.
Well, Bill, you might be responsible for this.
Thing to put
Did
record.
The Pointed Sticks bankrupt Quintessence at all?
No, I don't think so.
Well, didn't...
I mean,
there was some resentment, because you guys... Yeah. Was there resentment against the Pointed Sticks? Because, you know, you had the Macklem guy going nuts, getting you deals. Did some people view the Pointed Sticks... Well, Jade, what was the opinion of the Pointed Sticks at that time? You were in the Dish Rags. You know, Pointed Sticks get to win the Battle of the Bands, get to win money. You have to open for the Battle of the Bands. What did people think of the Pointed Sticks at that time?
There was a little resentment, I would say. And people figured that the Sticks had sold out because they had some measure of success and no one else did, so you know, we all took it pretty hard.
Hey, guess what? Peace in the Middle East today. Neato, eh? Oh, come on, quit sitting down, stand up. Living in a fantasy, you're blinded by the light. Surrounded by the things you want that make you feel alright. You got a lot of money and you got a pretty face. You say you're pretty happy here, you'll never leave this place. You must be crazy.
Oh yeah!
I'll be so lazy.
Oh yeah!
Or am I crazy? To be so full. I'm looking at the people as I'm walking down the street. Since Susan Target party just is trying to be so neat. Everyone looks happy and I just can't understand how anyone could be content to live a life so bland. They must be crazy.
Oh yeah!
To be so lazy.
Oh yeah!
Or am I crazy? To be so bored. crazy.
Oh yeah.
Cause he's so lazy.
Oh yeah.
Or am I crazy? Cause he's so bored. I must be crazy.
Oh yeah.
Cause he's so lazy.
Oh yeah.
Or am I crazy? Cause he's so bored. Hey, you know, if your children ever find out that you guys were this boring, they're going to kill you in your sleep, you know? They are. And I stole that line from Frank Zappa.
I think Mom and Dad are real squares.
I mean, you guys must be having fun sitting down out there, eh? Boy, what a lot of fun.
Suck shit!
You guys need dance wax. Here you go.
It makes you into a new man, a new woman.
Sprinkle a little on the floor.
Hey, save the last dance for me, eh?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
But I see face, and I see girls, and I see people from all around the world. Face this down for me. I'm so unhappy and I'll tell you why. Cause I'm so lonely that I wanna die. I need a girl.
Oh,
let me be a good boy.
Oh,
this is another toy.
Oh,
to tell me that she loves me sweetly. So completely. It's so priceless. Well, it's so rich. And it's pathetic. Where's that bitch? I look at parties and I look at school. And people see me and they think I'm a fool. But you laugh, laugh, laugh the best. And when I find my little girl, then I'll be laughing at the rest. For me and my girl,
oh,
let me be a good boy.
Oh,
psychedelic, eh? Wow, far out.
Drum solo.
I need a girl.
Oh,
make me feel like a boy.
Oh,
but this is not a toy.
Oh,
but tell me that she loves me sweetly. So completely.
Because there were some quotes I saw through these press clippings, like people saying, like, the pointed sticks were just like rich babies, the great white hope of the new wave scene, who blew it. Like, you blew it. What? How do you counter that, Bill? Like, the pointed sticks. And we again are talking to Bill Naperhemmy of the pointed sticks, Jade Blade of the Dish Rag, and Grant Madonna here. Grant Madonna, right? Madonna?
McDonough.
I always say McDonough of Zulu Records. We loved it. The record is amazing, though. I am very happy. I am very, very, and I'm alluding to something here coming out very shortly. I'm very, very, very happy this stuff's been reissued, because finally the rest of the world, well, people knew about you before, but it's out there. I'm happy. You know, the CD is out. You know, go to Zulu, get the CD, and find out about the pointed sticks if you're listening from somewhere else, but unfortunately this is not going anywhere else, so you're just covering the same area you did before. But how do you counter those claims, though, Bill? How do you counter those claims? What's the deal on that?
What, the claims that,
you know,
we,
you bankrupt a thing, and, you know, and kind of blowing
fail?
It, yeah, and all that stuff. Not that you failed, but, you know, kind of you got the special treatment, you know, all the other bands didn't get that, you know, Dish Rag's having to open and stuff.
What, that we sort of raised expectations?
Not
somehow?
Raised expectations, but got it easier. You know, got gigs easier, you know?
Oh, I see. Oh, that we'd, like, sold out.
Well, not really.
Pointless
rich. Because Alex Varty said, and I quote, he said, some of the Sticks had shown tendencies towards conceit.
Oh!
What did he mean by that?
Oh.
This is before you went to England. Before the Pointed Sticks went to England, Alex Varty even said some of the Sticks had shown tendencies towards conceit.
I'd love to read a review that says that.
It's hilarious. You never see that. I mean, wow. Conceit's a good thing in some businesses.
Well, please counter. Bill, you're not answering. Please.
I don't know who he, like, did he mean me?
I think he meant the group or something. I think he was trying to say, like, before you guys went to England and were put in your, quote, place, he said in this article, which I can show you later, that you showed tendencies towards conceit.
Wow. Well, maybe.
Okay. Well, speaking of that, Bob Rock.
But Bob Rock.
I don't mind
if performers are conceited, if they're good.
Like I say, Bob Rock. Was Bob Rock a good guy? What was it like doing recordings with Bob Rock at that time?
It was fun. It was lots of fun.
Because the stuff really sounds good.
It was, recording with Bob Rock is a hoot. And,
I mean, at the time, did you realize the studios really did, because it really, you know, stood the test of time, and they really sound really good. Did you realize that it sounded that good back then?
I personally didn't really have a clue.
Because all the Vancouver stuff, if you know it sounds really, don't you think so, Grant? That, like, on the compilation,
it's pretty well produced, a lot of that Little Mountain stuff from those days.
Because a lot of stuff is really dirgy and muddy, but a lot of it's clear.
Yeah. No, there were some great recordings being made back in those days, and at the time I didn't have a good enough ear to really tell one way or the other. I just, you know, if it felt good, yeah, great. But no, he did some really good work. So did Ron Obvious, and they were fun to work with in the studio.
And where were the studios at the time, and are these boards still around? Is it the same boards, or you know, can people go back and try to recreate those sounds?
No, which would be pointless anyway, completely pointless exercise, which a lot of people seem to indulge in these days. It's not the board, it's the people. It makes a difference.
Okay, well, I think it is important, because there is a board that numerous Seattle bands, like, you know, the Fastbacks or Mudhoney have recorded on, and the Young Fresh Fellows in Seattle, the Egg Studios board, which is the original Stax recording board.
All Bosch.
No! It adds extra stuff. It adds extra stuff. And just hang on a second.
Only
and
we'll in be, the imagination.
And we'll be addressing that. Well, speaking of people that liked your sounds and stuff, I was kind of bragging about the Pointed Sticks were. Did you have much of a following? Did you get many letters from any? Jake,
yeah,
did the dish rags, or did you get any letters or feedback, you know, from people appreciating your work outside of the, you know, Northwest area at all?
Outside of the Northwest, no. We got lots of fan mail from Seattle, and I must admit I answered most of it. I mean, we got so little that I did.
Bill, how about you guys?
We got fan mail. It was hilarious.
Do you want to hear some?
Yes, I'd love to.
Dear Pointed Sticks, and this is really touching. I wish I could play a song in the background, but I'm not going to. Dear Pointed Sticks, I'd write to tell you how much I love Perfect Youth and how it almost drives me to tears that A, nobody knows who you are, B, your record hasn't a 1 in a million chance of being a hit. My two favorite albums of the year are the DBs, Stand for Decibels, and yours. And no record company in America will touch either. I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm very cynical at this point. Both your LP and the DBs are so instinctively commercial that nobody should have any trouble enjoying the sound. And the lyrics are thoughtful, intelligent, and you sound so dedicated. I just wanted to say, keep up the good work. I'm a DJ at a local record reviewer in Champaign, Illinois, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I've waited a while, now I've got your 45s. I don't know how it feels to make a record that might sell 5,000 copies at most, even though it's a great LP, but, you know, I feel like blah, 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 blah. That's how your music strikes me. I've got hundreds of great albums from the past 5 years that failed in a commercial sense. If it doesn't sell, it's good. I don't exactly what I'm trying to say, except that I understand, I like your music, and fuck everybody else. It doesn't matter to me how... This is the touching part. Remember, this is written in... This letter to the Pointed Stick is written in 1980. It's written by a guy called John from Champaign, Illinois, which actually, interesting enough, the guy from Pansy Division is from Champaign, Illinois. You know, Pansy Division, homocore rockers. So I wonder if that was him from Champaign, Illinois. Anyways, I'd love to track him down and see if it was. But anyways, it doesn't matter to me how popular you are if you make good music. I just want to see you survive. But you need sales to survive! I don't know what to say.
Are you making this up?
No! I don't know what to say. Stay with it, if you can afford to. I'm worried that if somebody doesn't say anything to you, Bill, you might think that no one's out here. We are in small numbers. Speaking of numbers, there's another great Canadian pop group, the Paolas. This is where his letter kind of goes to crap for me. I hope it's enough, and I hope I can hear more from you. Hope to see you soon. John, Champaign, Illinois, 1980.
Sort of a slightly confused letter, like, does John want the band to succeed
wants the band to succeed. He says, I thought I'd write to tell you how much I loved Perfect Youth, and how it almost drives me to tears. Like, he knew nobody would ever know who you were, and he knew your record would never sell, and he knew you'd never get picked up for a major record label, and it's kind of sad. Here's a copy, if you want to quickly look over this. Now, Grant, what do you think about this? This guy was predicting something, wasn't he? He hit it on the ball, didn't he?
Well, I guess in retrospect he did, but, you know.
Not really.
And Grant,
we did sell a few hundred copies.
No, you did sell. But what he's saying is, see, the problem is you never read that letter when it came in, did it? Did you?
No.
See, you never kept together. He's saying, keep together. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Why did you not keep together, Bill? Bill! Bill, come on, you're a trot!
Hang on a second, I'm just like, I'm fascinated by this.
Well, you can look at it and say, no, keep holding it. Why did you not keep, this guy's telling you to keep together, you know, and you didn't keep together.
Well, we all got sick of each other.
But you should have read the letter. Well, right now, and what about the...
Well, I don't think it was the only person who suggested we should stay together.
Why did you guys break up?
Same thing.
You just got sick. So you guys should have, like, it just kind of bugs me in a way. So here's Jade Blade and Bill Napier-Hemmy, Pointed Stick Dish Rags, two of the greatest bands ever from Vancouver. We just got sick of each other. We just broke up. Why? Why couldn't you can keep going? Was it really that hard? Was it really that hard, Jade? Couldn't you just keep going? Why?
A band is like a marriage between several people, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Well, your marriage between Bill is and you are going,
but
okay.
We're not a band.
Yeah, and there's only one of the other, you know. There's only two of us.
Well,
total.
I think you guys need some cheering up right now. And
we're in pretty good mood, actually.
Because you think this guy in Champaign, Illinois was the only one that loved to point a stick.
No, absolutely not, because there were other letters. We just don't have copies of them. We had tons of them.
What was really interesting, there was another letter from another guy from Germany that said, you must go to England to make it big. You must go to England. And you did, so you followed his advice. But I wasn't allowed to Xerox that copy. Gord of Zulu wouldn't let me Xerox it. So that's enough personal letters there for the Pointed Stick. But right now, we're going to make a mystery phone call to somebody, and we're going to see how much they remember the Pointed Sticks and their importance in the Northwest music scene, etc. And I promise won't be. We're not phoning Alex Vardy here, who said some of the Sticks had shown tendencies towards conceit. We're phoning somebody that was totally into it.
Yeah. Hello?
Hello, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello, is this the Pointed Sticks fan?
It's one of, yes.
Please, identify yourself to the Pointed Sticks who assembled here, Pointed Sticks fan.
Well, this would be Kim Warnick from the Fastbacks.
Are you aware of Kim Warnick of the Fastbacks at all, guests we have assembled here today?
Please, gracious.
Please, introduce yourselves to Kim of the Fastbacks.
Hello, Hi. Kim.
Hi.
We have Grant from Zulu Records here.
Hello, Grant. Hi.
Hey, Kim. Hey,
dude.
We have, Jay Blade from the Dish Rags here as well, Kim.
Hi, Kim.
Hi.
And we have Bill Maker Hemi from the Pointed Sticks as well. Bill, are you there?
Hi.
Wow. Hello.
Hi.
I was just telling the Pointed Sticks about how much people internationally love them. You love the Pointed Sticks, don't you, Kim, of the Fastbacks?
I do love the Pointed Sticks.
And just to give you some credibility, you guys, or uncredibility, you guys just got back from a Pearl Jam tour, right?
Yeah, we actually played 3 shows with those guys.
Backing up in 30,000 6-feet people arenas?
Yeah, they were very big. People weren't big, the arenas were big.
And you also got Zampano signed as well, didn't you? It was you, Kim, of the Fastbacks.
Well, I don't know. I know that maybe I helped a little bit.
A real booster of the Vancouver scene. Thank you so much. We really appreciate that.
Yeah.
So, the Fastbacks, you guys have covered Apologies, a song written by the Pointed Sticks. What attracts you to this band, Kim of the Fastbacks? Tell the listeners, you know, how the Sticks are really sticks that you love.
Sticks that I love? I don't know. I just remember buying the very, very first single, and ever since then, just buying anything that they put out. And, of course, my band, the Fastbacks, has played Apologies or covered Apologies up until now. We still do it. It's still one of the greatest songs that we get to play.
And Kurt wears Pointed Sticks t-shirts and publicity shots as well.
I would too, but I don't have one. So, no, I think that's kind of a rarity, I would think.
When did you first hear of the Pointed Sticks?
Where?
Yeah.
Maybe Dale Weiss, perhaps. He might have turned me on to him. I don't remember. I used to go up to Zulu Records, and I think I used to just buy anything that struck my fancy, and I think that's where, or maybe even Grant turned me on to them. I can't remember.
Jade was just telling me, Jade of the Dish Rags,
mm-hmm.
that she bought her first, the Ramones record, the Ramones, you know, there's always a Ramones record in
right.
a story. She bought the Ramones record at a store in Seattle, Washington.
Really?
Yeah, so the Dish Rags started. How did the Fastbacks start? And you were a bit after, right? When did you start exactly?
Well, I guess kind of 1979, but probably our first show was in 1980.
When did you buy your Ramones record, the first Ramones record
when
you
it,
bought?
When it came out. I read about it in probably Cream, and I remember thinking, this sounds pretty cool. And I remember buying it, and I put it on, and I hated it because there's no guitar solos, which is kind of funny because not that I like them a lot or anything, but... And then I realized later that all those songs stuck in my head, and they're just like the Beach Boys.
Bill, do you remember the Fastbacks at all? Bill!
This is terrible. I've never seen the band.
That's all right.
I'm very embarrassed.
Don't be.
Or maybe, I don't think I have.
Well, you might not have. I mean...
Yeah.
We were all just little kids.
Well, wait a second, Bill. You better have been seeing royalty checks, because the Fastbacks covered a few of your tunes there. Apologies.
Uh-oh.
This is your life, Bill Napier-Hemmy. This is your life. This is your life, Bill. This
Wait.
Is Kim of the Fastbacks. This is really Kim of the Fastbacks, right?
Yes, it is. But let me just say, speaking of cover songs, are you guys aware that this band, The Real McKenzies, covered Out of Luck?
Yeah, that's actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's Paul from The Enigma.
Yeah. Well,
right.
The first time I heard that, it was a bit of a surprise because
right.
I went with an acquaintance down to the pub, down to the railway club where Paul was working.
Right.
Went in there and sat down, and this guy had never heard any of the Vancouver bands before, and I'm having a chat with him, and all of a sudden I hear this song on the radio or over the PA system that sounds like our song, and I stop and I say, hey, I think this is our band, and I listen to it, and I go, well, no, it's not our band, it's the song's all about scotch. So I went up to the bar and I asked about it, and it turns out that it was Paul's band. I was really impressed the guy I was with.
Oh, it's totally great.
It's excellent.
It's so funny because I got that CD and I was playing it at my work, and, you know, I was on the phone. I was sort of paying attention. All of a sudden, the songs, I'm like, wow, they're covering a Pointed Sticks song. But wait a minute, there's totally different words. And that's when I realized that they were calling it.
You know Canada, don't you? You know Canada.
I've been to Canada, yes.
You know Canada. Usually it's Canadians knowing a lot about the States, but here's an American loving the Vancouver scene. So how did the Vancouver scene help the Fastbacks?
Well, we got to play up there a lot, and it seems like we did better up there than we did in our town for a while.
Now, Jay, do you remember the Fastbacks at all?
Yes, I do, although I don't think I ever saw you play.
Yeah? You got chosen for the class, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't go to that show, but I remember that, I remember you guys got to play. And actually, you know, that's so funny because we did this, we covered a Modernette song for this compilation.
13 Soda Punks?
Called O Canada.
Oh, right, that one. Won't have to worry.
Right, and actually, when we were thinking of what song to do, we actually played that song a long time ago, so it was kind of a shoo-in to do for that. But Death in the Family was always one that could have been played as well. But maybe next time.
Now, the Pointed Sticks and the Dish Rags played Seattle, didn't they? You guys, Dish Rags and Pointed Sticks, you guys played Seattle, right? Please move closer to the mic, Sarah,
quite
please.
A lot, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen those bands. Definitely.
So you did see those bands. Thank you, Kim. That's great.
Did you come to see us at that old church?
Yeah, you know that old church called the Monastery?
Yes.
Yeah, I did. Actually, I was in a band called The Radios, this super new wave band, and we actually played there, too, and my mom came to see us, and she got pushed over by my old boyfriend. She, like, people were jumping around, and she got knocked over, and it was so scary to see your mom get, like, knocked over, but yikes. Whatever.
How were Vancouver bands regarded in Seattle at this time, Kim? How were the Pointed Sticks looked at?
Well, I don't know. I think there wasn't many people going to shows back then, so...
Was it a big draw? Was it a big gig?
Yeah, I guess so. I just don't think... I don't know. It seems like not many people went to see music back then. People didn't really know about punk rock or about bands playing their own songs, you know? It's not like today, of course. But it seems like those guys did well. I mean, DOA seems like they always... You know, had a lot of people at their shows, and the Subhumans.
Jade, what do you remember playing the Showbox in Seattle? What do you remember playing Showbox in Seattle at all, Jade?
Yeah, I do.
Because you played there on September 29th, 1979. It was the Dish Rags, The Look, Max Band, and The Enemy. It was a benefit for the Rocket magazine. Do you remember playing the show?
Yeah, I do remember that.
What was that like?
It was fun. I always liked playing the Showbox. I thought it was a great room.
You know what that is now? It's a comedy club.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's really depressing. Here's this totally great room. It's a comedy club. It's kind of like a travesty for the Seattle music scene.
Jade, who booked you into Seattle? How did you get connected to the Seattle scene at that time? How did you get that gig? On September 29th, 1979.
I don't remember specifically, but we did. Our managers lived in Seattle for a while, and I can't remember if that was before or after that gig. But for about, I don't know, 6 months or so, we had Seattle management.
Who were they? Do I know these people?
Well, Roger Husband, who used to
be
Public Enemy.
Right.
And then after that, it was a couple of guys from a shop called Time Travelers.
Right, okay. Mike Rainey?
Yeah. Jim Lightfoot.
Yeah. Right.
And that Mike Rainey guy, noticed that Psychotronic, or he has all those weird videos of Something Weird videos, right?
Right.
And there's actually a new book out, that Loser, the official Seattle music history kind of thing coming out. The official Seattle music history. There's a nice picture of you there, Kim, at the Bird in Seattle.
It was me and Al Block, Kurt Block's brother, and I think I was maybe 19. I was looking very stylish.
Very
obviously.
Young, very gig-going, very ready.
Very, very beautiful.
Very ready to go to a Pointed Sticks gig. Now,
and you know what? If you look at that picture, there's a girl standing next to me that... was so cool. Her name was Tammy DeCroft. She's even mentioned underneath the picture. But she was cool because in high school she knew the Tubes. And I thought, that's really cool.
Didn't Rob Morgan know the Tubes as well?
Yeah, I think he did. I didn't know how he knew rock stars at that point, though. I was just a little kid going to high school.
Now, Jade, you were on Modern Records, right? Was that Terry Morgan? Is that Terry Morgan? Who's Modern Records?
That's Terry Morgan.
Jade?
I've forgotten that.
Because your record, how did you get on, how did you get on that label? How did you get on Modern?
I don't know, I can't remember anything.
And then what about your record on CBS, or what was the, or RCA?
RCA, oh yeah.
Yeah.
What's the deal on, it's the Dish Rags Death in the Family 7-inch, and it says RCA Records, and it says Made in England. What's going on there? Like, nowadays, bands don't want to be associated with major labels, and here you're kind of faking it. Well, I don't really, what's the story on it?
That was the greatest thing ever, by the way. What a stroke of genius.
Please, Jade, explain.
Well, we always wanted to be on RCA, so we decided we would be.
That's totally brilliant.
And, well, did the label get mad, or did anybody find out? Because I know the Vancouver band, the K-Tales, refers to change the name to Young Canadians, you know. I mean, if the K-Tales find out about the K-Tales, didn't RCA kind of, did that limit distribution of the single, though?
Well, apparently RCA phoned Quintessence Records a few times and asked about our whereabouts, but by that time we had broken up, so I think they didn't pursue it any further.
That's totally great that they knew, though. I thought they would never found out, and that's even better that they knew.
Did you get any extra gigs that way, Jade, just by being on RCA? Were you billed as... It was a joke? It was a joke. I'm crushed. It was really a joke. You were not on RCA.
We were. I mean, in our minds, we were.
On that record, you are?
That's right. Yeah.
So you recorded at Triangle Studios. Where did you record in Seattle?
At Triangle Studios.
At Triangle Studios. What is that place, Kim? What is Triangle Studios?
It's now called, it's a different name, and I can't remember. It's a different place that, I forget what it's called. It's still there. They still do stuff. We actually recorded something there a long time ago.
So did you see the Dish Rags open up for the Ramones at all?
No.
Didn't you open up for the Ramones at one time in Seattle? Jade, is there a story about that?
Yes, we opened for them.
Oh, at the show?
For them, yes.
Oh, and I didn't go to that, so that's so funny. That's the one show I didn't go to.
Too bad. It was a good show. Grant was there.
Well, you didn't miss the Ramones, so...
Well, Grant, explain. Just pull up to the mic here, Grant. What happened at the...
Everything, but Joey Ramone has...
A bit closer to the mic.
Well, they were sick. Didn't he have the flu or something was horrible?
Yeah, he was sick, so the Dish Rags opened up, and there was about 1,000 people there. What happened after that, Jade? I don't...
Well, we just played, and...
Played again.
We played and closed.
So people showed up expecting the Ramones in Seattle, and they got the Dish Rags from Vancouver.
Yes, and they loved it.
An evening with the Ramones.
Featuring the Dish Rags.
Did you wear...
On RCA Records.
Of course.
Did you wear leather jackets at the time at all, Jade? Like
we must have. I mean, we always did.
Early gig memories in Vancouver, Kim, of the Fastbacks, speaking to us. And
I'll tell you my grossest gig memory in the world.
That wasn't with the Angelic Upstarts, was it?
I don't know. All I know is that the worst thing in all of rock and roll music happened to me, and I happened to be singing a song, and my mouth was wide open, and somebody spit, and it landed directly in my mouth.
Oh.
And you know, my biggest thing was, I'm not going to let this. I was so repulsed by that. I'm not going to let this person know. Because that would be the worst.
So did you swallow it?
No, I turned around and spit it out. And I kept going. That's so gross. And so, if anybody out there is listening, yes, it landed right in my mouth, but I didn't swallow.
Vancouver really was known for the spit, wasn't it, that time?
Oh, kind of. And then another time, Lulu was wearing an AC/DC shirt, and these people were threatening to kill her. So I think that was the Angelic Upstart show. Or some, I don't know. All I know is that she had to be guarded by these people because these guys were going to beat her up.
How about your Seattle experience with Bill Napier-Hemme? Bill Napier-Hemme, you still there? Not reading that Radio Moscow there. What about your Seattle experiences? I noticed on October 6, 1979, you played the Showbox 2 a week after.
No.
The Dish, yes?
No.
Yes, it's in a book. I have
no,
it printed.
No, no, we never played the Showbox.
Yes, it's in the Point of Sticks and the Wiper. You played
the
with
Wiper?
You played with the Wiper.
Oh, we did. Oh.
And the Female Hands.
Oh. Yeah.
I think that's true. I think
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, that's right.
Bill, well, is so the historian some, of the so, Sticks.
Bill, I was really hoping you would kind of link up with Kim here, you know. Kim being the number one Fastback fan, of course, the number one Pointed Sticks fan in America, and you're not really connecting here.
Well, we're talking about the Dish Rags.
I know, all this on the side, I'm sorry.
You hurt his ego. Shit.
Oh. What?
Nothing.
Do you remember being...
My feelings are hurt.
Oh, see, I remember seeing you at the place called the monastery that we were talking about.
Yeah.
That was a weird place, and for a while they were having shows there. I think they had, like, four rock shows. Usually, they finally got shut down for, like, weird prostitution kind of things.
Ooh.
Kind of gay sex male kind of shtick. But that didn't go over so well with the local authorities in this town, obviously. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of, and who knows, it's still there, but it's, like, some really weird church that nobody's ever heard of. You know, that there's probably like five members of or something.
So any questions you have at all for Bill Napier-Hemme, any chord progressions you'd like to get? How many? I understand there was a Pointed Sticks kind of offshoot kind of tribute band that were headed by Fastback members, that Dale Weiss was supposed to be the singer.
No, this is like...
At a house party?
No, Kurt Block, who's in my band, and Al, his brother. Yeah, they did. They actually played a show and played like everything from like the oldest to the very newest, or the last, one of the last things you've ever recorded. But different people play a show. I have a feeling it was just a band that practiced in my basement.
Well, anything else like to add to the Pointed Sticks? Any other adulation? Adulation?
Well, here's what I want
to
say.
You'd like to heap upon them at all?
I think the Fastbacks have to do a new cover song by Pointed Sticks, and I think it might have to be Lies.
Good choice.
No, is this,
I'm thinking like, wait, I'm looking at the single and I'm thinking, I'm numb or Lies, but you know what?
Lies.
Yeah, you're
good,
totally right.
Good call.
Underrated
song.
Let me just say something just to make you blush. All your guitar solos are amazing.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's the thing about this band that we would all go, God, he's so good.
Oh, no.
That's actually what Dale Weiss said. He said, you're very technically competent, Bill. He says you're right up there with, like, you know, regular stuff. You're right up there
like
with
a real guitar player.
No, you're right up there with the John Cody, Ron Allen rhythm section. Like, you're really
actually
precise.
My favorite one is when Corsage, a band I was in after the Pointed Sticks, we played the Love Affair, and one of the people in the newspaper said, surprisingly adept.
That's like the biggest backhanded compliment.
Yeah, I know.
My favorite guitar solo is in Marching Song.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah,
that's
like that.
And also, actually, another cover song, if we don't do Lies, might have to be True Love.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
Yeah,
do that one.
We might have to come up with a new one, because 1-2 is just a little bit too much.
Yeah, it's a bit pompous.
Well, actually, 1-2 might be a good one to cover, because it's not on the CD. It's not on the CD.
See, I've seen it, but I don't know.
See, Kim wants promo copies, but the label won't send it to her.
Do something good like True Love.
Kim is the number one Pointed Sticks fan in Seattle. She works for Sub Pop. She got Zampano signed to Sub Pop. She's in the Fastbacks. She's played with Pearl Jam, and she can weasel a free... And she's wasting her time right now. Well, no, she's helping us right here, and she wants a free promo, please.
I'm not saying I want a free promo. I tried to buy it in my own stupid country, and they don't have it, so there.
Well, that's another thing I was wondering, Kim. As you were traveling doing songs by the Pointed Sticks in the Fastbacks lineup,
exactly.
Did anybody come up to you at all? Or what? Have you found fans all over for the band? Like, anybody, like when you do Apologies, is people go, oh, that's by Point Sticks? Or
some people know that song, yeah. I mean, some people know. There's people in the know about this band. That's the good thing.
All right. Well, anything else you'd like to add to Kim and Fastbacks at all? Jade or Bill or Grant or Kim, would you like to add anything else?
Well, Grant, thank you for that sweet tape you made me a long time ago. I still play it.
That was my pleasure.
What's the deal? And explain that, please, to the listeners.
And you know what, Grant? We just actually still do Set Me Free by the Sweet, as a matter of fact. We do that as often as sort of Apologies. So.
Kim, inform the listeners on what you're talking about here.
I'm talking about this tape that Grant made me in probably 1982 or 83. It's a Sweet compilation tape. It's the band Sweet, otherwise known to most listeners.
As a Steve Priest fan club.
Ball and Blitz, yeah. So anyway, he made me this tape of all these great songs and all these B-sides that I'd never heard before, and I played it religiously, constantly, for the last... It's been in my tape deck for so long, you wouldn't even believe it.
And
I've actually started... I've actually started to see some of these singles. Kurt's gotten all the weird versions of these things that... And someday we will do Burn on the Flame, because that song is the most rock and roll song in the world.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Kim of the Fastbacks, for being able to be... This is your life, Bill Napier Hemi, Jay Blade, and Gord... Grant. I'm mad at Gord because he won't give a free promo copy of the CD to Kim here.
Anyway, look, Kim, nice to meet you over the telephone here.
I
want to see your band, though. I feel like a real loser that I've never seen your band.
Well, that's okay. So, I mean, we were all just little children back then. I'll come up to your reunion show that you're having.
Anyway, nice to meet you.
Okay.
Yeah, what Fastbacks do we expect? Are you coming to Vancouver at all, Kim? Anything we can look forward to?
Well, we certainly aren't coming up there anytime soon, but we want to. Maybe in January.
Any shows in Seattle people can go down and check out, possibly?
No, not right now. We're just kind of doing nothing, like a good rock band does.
All right. Well, keep on rocking the free world, and do...
I would like to. Thank you very much.
Kim, do-do-do-do-do.
Yes?
Do-do-do-do-do. Kim?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Do-do-do-do-do. Great!
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Thanks so much.
See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
So what do you guys think of that? Kim of the Fast... Did you ever know you had fans like that out there? Bill Napier-Hemi of the Pointed Sticks. Are you still there, Bill?
Hello.
Are you still there? Are you still there? Are you recovered from that?
Can I turn my... thingy. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, sounds better now, okay. Yeah.
Have you recovered from that? Have you recovered? A fan out there.
Yeah.
You're honest, though.
That's
telling
nice.
Her you've never heard of the Fastbacks, really. Or,
well, you know, she's a familiar name.
She's covering your songs, and why don't we hear just right now, why don't we just hear right now the reason that Kim of the Fastbacks cares about the Pointed Sticks? Well, because, of course, they cover Apologies, and here's a cover of Apologies by the Pointed Sticks, by the Fastbacks, in a very, very powerful Motor LP on Papalama Records, recorded on the Stax board. You know, the board, you know, from Memphis or whatever, you say boards make no difference in the sound of a tune. Well, this is the sound of the Fastbacks doing the Pointed Sticks through a Stax board. We'll be right back. on radio CITR, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show, and Bill Napier-Hemmy of the Pointed Sticks. How did you enjoy a cover version of a song that you played guitar on? What do you think of the Fastback's version of Apologies right there?
It sounded fabulous.
Now, Grant, you might have an explanation for Bill's fogginess with the Fastback's. Perhaps you could explain that to the listeners out there that are probably wondering.
His lack of knowledge on the Fastback's?
Yeah, you were explaining a bit about the Fastback's
well,
when they hit
I
Vancouver.
Guess the Fastback's, when they first came to town, they started playing the Buddha. And that was just when the Pointed Sticks were on their last legs, frankly, so... You know, it's that rock generation thing. You know, the Sticks came to an end. The Fastback started. They were the people in the audience watching these guys in Seattle. So, the Sticks were solving their internal differences, I guess you could say.
Now, Jade, we talked a bit about how the Dish Rags were on RCA, kind of, but the Pointed Sticks ended up on Stiff Records, didn't they? Bill Napier-Hemmy.
Yeah.
You end up on Stiff Records, and I have here. Have you seen these
no
balls
way,
they have here? They have
that,
there's
yeah,
an actual,
it looks great.
There's an actual ball here, a Stiff Records promo ball. It goes, Stiff Records, still the home of Ian Dury and the Blockheads, Lena Lovitch, Rachel Sweet, The Rumor, Reckless Eric, Madness, The Feelies, and The Pointed Sticks.
Wow.
I've
right
never
there.
Seen this before.
How
that's
did,
cool.
How
awesome.
Did, how did you bunch of little Pointed Sticks end up on Stiff Records from England with there with Rachel Sweet and right there beside Madness? What happened there? Please explain that. How did you get signed to Stiff Records?
Holy moly, a lot of phone calls, a lot of fast talking, and maybe it had something to do with the secret affair that Nick was having with Rachel Sweet that no one else knew about. I don't know, man. But no, fast talking Mac. He Steve
Mac.
Wasn't
there some guy at a gig? Steve? Some English guy was at a gig,
yes,
Grant?
Yes, his name was Clendon or something. Or
Nigel. Something or other.
Well, they're all called Nigel over there. You know, Nigel.
He saw him at the Commodore.
Hello, my name is Nigel.
Commodore, and he was a talent scout for Stiff. And he was, I think, in Los Angeles or something, and he heard about this. And I guess Steve placed the call, however it took place, and he saw them at the Commodore on a good show. So he kind of went and spoke to you guys backstage, didn't he, afterwards? And and then the deal took place shortly afterwards. And what's his name? Brinsley Schwartz, who was Graham Parker's guitarist, came to Vancouver, and he recorded your EP.
And is that the EP that's on Stiff?
Yeah.
With the neat kind of like intro for somebody's mom, that radio thing?
Yes.
Is that an English radio intro that they added, or is that...
No, it's all Canadian stuff. It was just pulled off the radio. You know, CJOR or something, you know, just advertisements for cornflakes and stuff.
It must have been pretty exciting to be going to England. Like, how...
Yeah,
like,
tell me about it.
How quick was
great.
It? Like, he saw you at a gig. When? How long before you were in England? Was it like a couple months later you were in England?
It seemed like an eternity. It probably was just a couple of months. But it was, you know, millions of telephone calls and demo tapes and, you know, who knows, haircuts.
Demo
tapes,
you mean they wanted to hear and...
There's a name, Paul Conroy. That was
Paul, that's it.
Do you recognize the
somewhere?
People on the ball? What we're showing Bill Napier-Hemmy here is like a promotional kind of ball. What do you call it? Promotional
dodecahedron, I think.
You are a school teacher, right? So you know how to explain what that is to the listeners out there. And it's got all these people from Stiff Records who supposedly helped the Pointed Sticks. Did these people help you out? What happened in England, Bill?
Well, there's the guy on one of these faces of the dodecahedron. His name's Paul Conroy. He's the scout. And no, they got us over there, put us in a studio, got a producer. We made a record. They didn't release it, but you know, they put us up in a nice house in Maida Vale and gave us a car.
Like,
it's great.
The Pointed Sticks on Stiff Records, like on Stiff Records. How did England how did England revere the Pointed Sticks at this time?
Well, they didn't really know about us because there wasn't much released over there. They just released an EP.
How did the reviews go? They liked Dimwit, didn't they? They liked the name Dimwit.
There were some good reviews. They liked Dimwit, yeah.
The reviews kind of went, da-da-da, so-and-so who have a drummer named Dimwit. Kind of like awfully character Dimwit.
How many gigs did you guys play there?
Five.
Yeah.
Five or six. Played a couple of universities, played a couple of pubs.
You went better at the universities than the pubs, didn't you? Went over better there.
Yeah, you done your homework, yeah. No, yeah, we did. We did better at the universities.
Did you back up anybody, or did bands play with you at all?
No, we just played by ourselves. That was it. Yeah, funny thing, there were strange gigs.
There were showcase gigs, really.
There were showcase gigs, yeah. And we didn't play long sets or anything, but, you know, we were the only band. We played Dingwalls, that was one. University of London, that was another. That was a lot of fun, the University of London. And then someplace out of town, I can't remember.
You did the Electric Ballroom.
We did the Electric Ballroom, opening up for the Soft Boys and Psychedelic Furs.
And you were billed as Stiff Latest, the Pointed Sticks.
Yeah. And our posters were everywhere. It was hilarious. We got off the plane, and they were picked up in this minivan and driven through London. And as we went into London, we saw our posters all over the place. It was quite amusing.
And Stiff's Latest, the Pointed Sticks, sounded like this.
And you're listening to CITR FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar the Human Serviette radio show. Nardwuar versus the Pointed Sticks and the Dish Rags is what you've been listening to, and stay tuned next week for part two of Nardwuar the Human Serviette versus the Pointed Sticks and the Dish Rags, coming up at 5 o'clock, the CITR news here on CITR FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar the Human Serviette radio show.
And known in Montreal as Dish Rags avec DD. Known on the West Coast as DD and the Dish Rags, right here.
Guitar, I'm Scott on the drums, and I'm Dale. Thank you.